We're going to look in Revelation now. We've spent much time in this book, and we are now up to chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. And we are hoping and praying that you've been enlightened, you've been encouraged. And we did this out of a need, because through all of this pandemic, we've heard so many things that's not been biblical, and I want us to be people of the book. And the Bible has a lot to say about the end times. And we've been looking at them, and we've been going through a lot of judgment. And I've given the application every service, thank God I'm saved. I'm not going to have to stay here and be left behind and go through the tribulation period. And I thank God for that. And I know there's a lot of different thoughts on that, people's ideas of we're going to be raptured up, we're going to have to go through a little bit of it, or after it, or post-trib and pre-wrath. But look at me, praise God, chapter 4, verse 1, we're caught up before all of it. And I heard one of my professors say years ago that I am so pre-trib, he said, I don't even eat post-cereal anymore. Somebody say amen. And so if y'all eat post, I'll pray for you. I picked on Jenna today. I've learned that some people don't like seafood. And some people don't like fish. And I said to this young lady, and she knows I'm just picking with her, but I said, are you saved? If you don't like fish and seafood, you need to get down here to this altar tonight and ask God for forgiveness. Can I ask y'all a question tonight? And of course, I'm just picking. But how many of y'all don't like seafood or fish? Would you raise? Oh, my soul, we need a revival tonight. Revelation chapter 11. Let's look at verse 15. The Bible says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And right there ought to make all of you shout. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, and was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power, and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Again, Lord, we ask you'll do what only you can do tonight. Speak to our hearts. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're right here at halfway, the book of Revelation. It's here that we find that the seventh trumpet is going to be sounded. It's the third woe. If you remember, woe, woe, woe. This is the third one. Now, what we have to understand is when this seventh trumpet sounds, it will reveal the seven vial or bowl judgments. Now, we're not going to read about that until chapter 15. But we see that the trumpet is being sounded in chapter 11, but we're not going to start seeing what these bowl judgments are until actually in verse 15. So the events surrounding the trumpet aren't going to be revealed till 15. But the book of Revelation is not entirely written in a chronological order. Let me explain. Chapters 12 through 14 deal with the tribulation, but it's from a different perspective. And then in chapter 6 through 11, the focus has been on the Lord and his judgment to claim possession of the earth. And we've spent all of that time going through chapter 6 all the way up to this point. But here in a moment, we're going to find that another perspective takes place in chapter number 12 through 14, because it's going to reveal, God's going to reveal the Antichrist, which is taking place during the tribulation period. So we have to understand that it will deal with the same time period that we've already studied. So we have to understand now this scene focuses back in heaven. What the passage I just read is the Lord is giving us a glimpse of a scene that is going to be taking place in heaven when this seventh trumpet is being sounded. You have to keep in mind, as this is taking place in heaven, there's still judgment and things going on in earth. So we understand there's earth dwellers. Those are the ones that have rejected Christ. And the church has been raptured. So you have to understand that the saved are already in heaven in chapter 4, verse 1. But that does not mean that there's not events going on in the world. And that's what we've been studying in chapter 6 through chapter 11. But now he shifts the focus back up to this scene in heaven. And what a scene. Let's just look at this scene tonight. I'm just going to call it the scene of worship like we'll never see. Like you've never seen, we're going to experience this scene of worship. How many of y'all are saved? You've been blood washed in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Then you're going to be here. Now don't get excited. Just sit there like a bump on a log. Don't smile. Don't say amen. Don't show no enamel. But you're going to be there. I appreciate the few. Let's try one more. Y'all want a short sermon tonight? Y'all are looking for a long one. Let's just say now, how many of y'all glad to be there? You're going to be there. All right. What is this? It's going to be a scene of rejoicing. Y'all ever seen somebody sing, give rejoice? I can't help it. It wasn't, and I know you've heard this before, but I cannot help it. But when we hadn't been here long, and we went to somebody's baseball game. I can't remember who we went to. It might have been a softball, might have been a t-ball game. I can't remember. It was one of the children in the church. And we went over there, and I'll never forget this lady. Her little boy, I'll never forget his name, because she made sure everybody in that whole Lookout Valley area over there at the ball fields knew who he was. But I'm going to tell you right now, her son, his name was Bubba. And the reason I know his name was Bubba, because the moment he cracked that ball off that t-ball, he whacked that ball, and I mean, it might have went, 4 feet. But man, I'm going to tell you right now, that mama come up out of there, and she started shaking the whole bleachers. She was jumping up and down. She was, flailing her arms, and she was going, "Run, Bubba!" And when he hit first base safe, I'm telling you right now, there was some rejoicing in Lookout Valley. But that's going to pale in comparison to the rejoicing that we're going to see in heaven. And y'all just get ready. If you don't like rejoicing down here, you might as well go ahead and get started, because you get a head start, because you're going to in heaven. Let's look at some things that we're going to be rejoicing of. It's going to be a scene of rejoicing. Wow, the Bible says that the 24 elders, and by the way, you might disagree with me, and that's fine. You could read 13, 15, 20 different commentators, and they're all going to have different thoughts. But I believe the 24 elders represent the saints of God. That's my personal view on that. But we see here that these 24 elders, when this seventh trump sounds, the Bible says the elders fall to their faces and they worship the Lord. They're rejoicing because Jesus has been triumphant over Satan. Now I want you to notice, why are they rejoicing? Because look, number one, he's talking about a prominent kingdom. Look at verse 15. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of'" who? "Our Lord and of the Christ." Now I want you to think back through me with the history and the antiquity of time. Think of all the great, great empires and the great kingdoms. I mean, we could go back to the Egyptian rule. We could go back to the Babylonian. We could go back to the Persians and the Romans and all of, even today, of the world powers. But listen to me, most of these have fallen and all of them will fall. And I want you to know something. They all had a desire to rule the world. But praise God, I am thankful tonight, and we can rejoice tonight, that our God will reign forever. And I'm thankful for that. These folks have denied the Lord. I believe many of these, Hitler and Stalin and so many of these evil people, they've been empowered by Satan. And they've rejected the Lord. And for centuries, evil men have been led by Satan. They've wanted to rule the world. But I thank God. They've denied the Lord and slaughtered those who have followed him. But I praise God. I'm thankful tonight Jesus is coming again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will set up his kingdom in righteousness and all will bow to him. Thankful for that. His kingdom. Not theirs, his. So we understand it's a prominent kingdom. We're rejoicing today, and we're going to be rejoicing in heaven because it's a providential kingdom. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, "He shall reign forever and ever." How long does that last? Amen. Now think of the powerful rulers. Think of Pharaoh, all of the Pharaohs, rule the then known world. Think of Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Caesar, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin. All of these men, they wanted to rule the world, and they set up great kingdoms and great powers, but they have one thing in common. They're all dead. Praise God, I want you to know tonight, these men did conquer and rule vast empires, but our King will reign forever and ever. He's not limited like humans are. I'm thankful it's a providential kingdom. Then we're rejoicing in heaven and tonight because it's a powerful kingdom. Look at verse 17. We give thanks. Why? O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come. You ever thought about this? He always has been. Our little finite minds can't really think about that. But you know, he always has been. And here's where the good part is. And he always will be. You know, that's simple, but that's something to rejoice over. I'm thankful we're going to be rejoicing in heaven. We should be rejoicing tonight because the kingdom of the Lord will be built upon the power of His word. His kingdom doesn't rest on the frailties of men. He will one day defeat the powers of hell and great powers. Satan and those who follow him will be judged and their sentence carried out in the lake of fire. I'm thankful we are rejoicing because it's a powerful kingdom. Then I want you to notice a perpetual kingdom. Look at verse 17. The Lord is described here as the Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come. The Lord's king is eternal. The kingdom of God setting up, it's eternal. Forever and ever. Ever and ever. Ever and ever. Ever and ever. That's a long time. I'm rejoicing tonight. And by the way, we're going to rejoice in heaven because he's going to reign forever. We see it's a scene of rejoicing. But I also want to tell you, it's a scene of recompense. What does that mean? Look at verse 18. And the nations were angry. This amazes me. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Now here's what we're talking about here tonight. The scene of rejoicing turns its attention to a scene of recompense where men receive their just reward. All who have ever lived will stand before God Almighty. Now, this is a sad statement, but we first see that God is going to give the sinners their reward. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's what compels the Quins. It's what should compel us, that we give the gospel so that they might be saved, because we know that the wrath of God abides on them. And one day, the ones that have rejected Christ will stand and give an account for their life. And look the way God has explained it. The Bible says, the nations were angry and thy wrath is come. In other words, the time of the dead. In other words, they're going to be judged. Even in the tribulation, this is what's amazing me, and you read it time and time again in the book of Revelation, even in the tribulation, the world remains angry and defiant towards God. After all the judgment, after all the violence, after all the hurt, after all of the devastation, they're still shaking their fist at Almighty God and still not repenting. We find, rather, we see them as they are, I pray that they will see themselves a sinner and ask God to save them. But the Bible warns of coming judgment for those who reject Christ. The Lord will have the final word in judgment. I want you to understand this as well. There will not be any accusations. There will not be any arguments. There will not be any excuses. The judge knows all, and he will give just and right judgment. It's very important. Jesus died for all men. How many of y'all believe that? He died for all men. He sure did. But those who deny him, I sadly tell you tonight, and if you know the word of God, they will end up in a devil's hell. They will be judged forever and ever. And that brings me to this good point. I'm glad I'm saved. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But thank God I'm glad. I want to just say too, I'm glad I was raised in a home that taught me the truth of the Word of God. Could you imagine living in England or Ireland, where your history had great history and heritage of the Lord's work, and now you're being brought up in a society that they know nothing of God? Thank God we were raised. I was raised in a time where I would think that every boy that I went to school with in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade knew the great stories of the Bible. But now we live even in a society here that if you go and ask most sixth grade boys in a school and ask them who David and Goliath is, they'll say, who? Because we live now today in a biblically illiterate society. And I pray that we will continue to spread the truth. Why? Because God is going to judge sinners. But then I want you to notice this. He's going to reward the saints. We find it right here in this passage. And the nations were angry. The wrath has come. The time of the dead. That they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints. How many of y'all are a saint? Well, get ready. We get to look forward to this. I mean, how many of y'all like them ceremonies where you handed out them awards? I could imagine, and I know this is playing a little bit of trying to be funny here, but I don't know who this lady was, but I know her son's name. His name was Bubba. Let's just say that Lookout Valley, that happened to be that year that she was so proud of her son, would hand out awards. And Bubba got maybe the most valuable player of his team. I couldn't imagine the rejoicing that took place in that mama's heart, and everybody in that place would have known it. But we're just talking about, if you're a saint of God, whether great or small, the God of heaven is going to reward you. And sometimes we just sit there and say, whoop. But you do understand you're going to be rewarded. And here's what's wonderful about that. The Bible says great and small. So can I help everybody here? You might have the thought and the idea that you say, you know what, I really don't do much for the Lord. Listen to me. There is no great and small. God blesses all. There's no little work for the Lord. There's no little job. There's no little responsibility. There's just serving the good God of heaven. And the Bible says He will reward great and small. So that ought to encourage us all tonight to keep serving the Lord in whatever capacity that He's given us to serve. Amen. He will reward. Your service down here, by the way, might go unnoticed. And sometimes you're not given an applause. And many times you're forgotten to be patted on the back. But I want to just say to you tonight, we're going to keep serving the Lord whether we get applause, whether we get patted on the back, or whether we get paid anything on this earth, because I want you to know a payday's a-coming someday, and it's going to be a greater payday than we can receive here. So let's keep serving the Lord. I thank God He's going to reward the saints. And then I want you to notice we see this scene of rejoicing, a scene of recompense, but I want you to notice it's a scene of revelation. Look at verse 19. The Bible says this, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark." Now that's interesting, of His testament. We're talking about the ark of the covenant. So we see this as a scene of revelation. The scene in heaven closes with a revelation of things to come. Now think of this. Here's verse 19, the first part. We see the temple of God was opened in heaven. Now this speaks of the acceptance of the redeemed, access to the throne of God. You have to understand, in the Old Testament, you couldn't just walk in to the Holy of Holies. You couldn't walk into the presence of God. But I'm thankful when Christ was died on the cross and He raised from the dead, we know that that partition was split in twain. And praise God, can you imagine? We're going to be in the very presence of God Almighty in heaven, accepted by Him. What rejoicing that will be. So we see He's going to accept, consider a lowly sinner. I'm an old lowly sinner. There's no value in me. There is no worth in me. I do not deserve to be in the presence of God. But I'm rejoicing tonight to know that He is going to open up and allow old sinners saved by grace come into His holy presence. He's going to accept the redeemed. Then we're going to see the assurance of the Jews. Now, this was interesting as I was studying this a little bit. Why would he mention the Ark of the Covenant? We know that the Ark of the Covenant was another, I believe this is another reminder that God is not finished with his covenant people, the Jewish people. The Ark of the Covenant was where God dwelt. It represents his presence, his power, and his promise. And I believe God is reminding the Jewish people that he will keep his promise and fulfill his plan for his people. I'm thankful for that. Then we see the affliction of the world. Look at verse 19, the last part. And every time this is mentioned, when we see lightnings and voices and thunderings, and then he goes into even great detail, earthquake and great hail. And by the way, those who have rejected the Lord are going to face the horrors of the seventh trumpet. This seventh trumpet is going to be these vials or these bowl judgments that we're going to start reading and looking at in chapter 15. And if you want to look at these at another time, I mean, we're talking grievous sores. We're talking about the seas being smitten, the rivers being smitten. There's going to be scorching. There's going to be darkness. These are all things that are going to be coming upon the earth dwellers, the ones that have rejected God, the ones that are left behind when we're all in heaven rejoicing at this scene. And we see that this passage clearly divides two types of people. It's this simple: saved and lost. Saved and lost. Saved and lost. Have you noticed every message that we've preached out of the book of Revelation, we've come to that conclusion. Either you're saved or you're lost. Why should we study prophecy? Why should we study? You know, some people like to study prophecy, and I'm not judging their motives. I don't know. But I think sometimes people want to study the book of Revelation or deep things just so they can let other people know they know deep things. Well, I'll be the first to tell you that I'm as ignorant and lowly as anybody here. There's probably men that can do a whole lot more justice to this passage than me. But I will tell you this, when I read the book of prophecy and the book of the Revelation, and when I think about end days, it can't help but motivate us to do all we can to see more people saved. Because at the end of the day, at the end of this scene, we're either going to thank God we're a saint, or we're going to wish God we were. And now we live in a day where there is a time and acceptance that people can be saved. And thank God, even in this pandemic, there has been people that's trusted Christ as their Savior. All around. But I'm going to ask our church tonight, as we consider this rejoicing in heaven, who do we not want to be there with us? There's not one soul that we wouldn't want to be there with us. And maybe tonight, you say, well, Pastor Mark, you don't understand. There's a pandemic going on. Now's not the greatest time to preach the gospel. Au contraire, it's the greatest time to preach it. This is the day in which people are looking for something of substance, something of real hope, something that's real, and we have him. And so I encourage Tiftonia Baptist Church and all that are listening online, when we study the book of Revelation, we think about the rejoicing, we think about the rapture, we think about all of the tribulation period. It ought to motivate us to be broken, to be burdened, and to allow the Lord to help us to spread the good news of the gospel. I want you to think with me as we close tonight. Would you do me a favor? Would you bow your head? And would you close your eyes? And I'd like for you, just for a few moments here, I want you to get in your mind's eye some people that you might think that might not be in this rejoicing scene with us. We don't know their hearts. But there's people we're concerned about. Can I ask this question? With an uplifting of hands, how many of you, there's somebody on your heart, somebody in your life, somebody you know, that you're concerned about their eternal salvation? Would you raise your hand? What can we do about it? What can we do about it? Well, I'm thankful the Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man, the fervent prayer of a righteous man, availeth much. You know what that means? It works. Would we come around an old place, an old altar this morning, this evening, and just ask God to do something special in those people's lives? Would you even ask the Lord and say, Lord, help me, give me the wisdom, give me the burden, give me the desire, give me the words to be able to help that person? He'll give you an opportunity. But will we seize the opportunity if he gives it to us? Sometimes words are not needed. Sometimes it's just tears. When's the last time you've been brokenhearted over someone and so much that you can't even talk, you can just weep? I tell you what, church, if we're not careful, we'll get so calloused and cold. Let's stand our feet.